Welcome to this week's perspective on the Christopher Peter Review, your source of common sense commentary on salient current events. My perspective this week will be the second round of the NFL season, the oversensitivity of the social media crowd, and more forces to bring us back to the office. Week 2 started with a great matchup, a modern-day edition of a long-lasting division rivalry between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. Not so much of a rivalry lately, with the Bills winning 12 of the last 13 matchup. I believe that is what the streak is up to after Thursday. Not much of a game, as the Bills showed that they still are a contender and remain the class of the AFC East. From the beginning, the Bills took control and did not look back. They dominated in all phases of the game, and it was not pretty, not really a game. But the game was not the main focus of the night. The health and well-being of the Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua was the main takeaway, as he suffered another concussion. So many people have their opinions of what Tua should do, but he needs to be the one who makes that decision, and given the space to make the choice on his own terms. Can he learn to play and protect himself better? Maybe, maybe, maybe not. Can the team help him with that? Maybe, maybe, maybe not. But the time after football hopefully is longer than his time on the field. That is what we hope for all athletes. Hopefully he makes a full recovery and does what is best for himself and his family, whatever that decision is. The college football Saturday was pretty good. Arch Manning showed Texas fans what he is capable of, as he played well in filling in for an injured Quinn Ewers, lifting the Texas Longhorns to the number one ranking for the first time in 16 years. Notre Dame rebounded after an upset loss to pound Purdue. Georgia survived the Kentucky Wildcats. Now on to Sunday. The biggest storyline for me was watching the Dallas Cowboys be dismantled by the New Orleans Saints in AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. The Saints scored on 6 straight drives in an impressive, dominant manner. The Cowboys' vaunted defense did not provide much of an obstacle to the Saints' offense. To be fair, the Cowboys are not the same team that dominated on defense last year. In order to be able to pay Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons next, the team had to let key cogs of their team walk away. The Cowboys did not spend much and relied a great deal on replenishment through the draft, so it is not completely surprising that the team is taking time to round into shape. But, as I watched the game, it definitely changed my confidence in my picks for the Eagles' first quarter. My Super Bowl picks are not looking too great right now either. The worst game of the weekend might have been the Giants and Commanders, where the Commanders secured the first win of the Daniels era. Daniel Jones played a little better, and the Giants stayed with the Commanders all game. But the quality of play must still concern the fans, and shed any doubt that change may be needed, especially as the decision to not pay a $40 million quarterback to hand to a $12 million back is turning into a $40 million quarterback passing to the other team way too much. The big game of the weekend was the showdown between Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. The Kansas City Chiefs and Cincinnati Bengals played a thrilling one-point game. The Bengals and Chiefs did not blink. A fumble returned for a touchdown and a petulant rant that made a third down impossible ended up contributing to the loss for the Bengals, but easily the best game of the weekend. My Philadelphia Eagles had the game won except for a fingertip. Our defense is not looking too good, especially with a trip to New Orleans coming up. The offense played better overall, but the lack of a third down conversion to be able to run out the clock really cost us the game. But the problem is the defense not being able to generate a pass rush, or even the threat of a pass rush. A loss to an inferior team in the Falcons is a setback. Personally, I believe we should have played much better, but we cannot win them all. Now on to my next topic. I was scrolling through my social media feeds for pointless videos, and ended up seeing an animal video clip of some kind of monkey trying to eat a cobra, but the cobra bites the monkey in the face. Some people in the comments were offended that Facebook would allow it to be shown, which I found to be a weird sentiment. The video did not show the actual end outcome, except the meal was not going to be eaten that day. You could imagine what happened next. But are some in our society growing way too sensitive to be able to deal with real-life events? I guess if you do not want to see what happens when animals in the wild confront each other, then you can scroll past it. Do these people think that when a predator wants a meal they call DoorDash or Uber Eats? Are we soon going to be told a myth that there are vegan lions, tigers, and bears? Nature is natural. Some animals eat plants, and other animals eat those animals. The circle of life? I do not think many animals are anywhere close to identifying as vegetarian when they are a carnivore. Are we as a society able to accept real-life events, or do we always want a patriarchal entity to shield us from the things that are naturally occurring that are uncomfortable? I think more and more we are seeing people not be able to accept that natural biological behaviors exist. Animals are not just acting in concert with their species' social construct, but just doing what animals do. As the economy continues to push into this stagnant decline, I think there will be some companies that will exploit the environment to push a change in the work habits of their staff. For instance, Amazon is going to start bringing back employees 5 days a week to the office. From the article, the tech giant wants to change its culture and restart its startup roots to some degree, and bringing people back to the office next year is a pillar of this new strategy. But some feel it is also simply a way of further trimming staff, where many of the hires made since the move to remote working are not going to relocate. I think companies are starting to realize people are at a point where they are truly worried about their employment situations and their economic viability in the current state of our economy. Our economy is not doing well, and real job creation is not occurring, despite the narratives that are being put out there. People with high-paying positions are not willing to venture into the job market right now. So, some companies may test how strong their workers' fears are by saying that they need the staff to return to work more than they have been, because there is less likely to be strong resistance other than those who truly cannot make the switch. The main reason why companies will make the switch is because of the financial impact of operating real estate at half capacity for buildings that cannot be sold. The desire to fully utilize the space is something that many companies want to do. The surrounding businesses around these locations want to see that as well. Also, there probably are legitimate issues with the productivity of staff members. Out of sight of their direct supervisors, there are some workers who may not work at the same pace as they might in the office environment that may have less distractions. But there are some workers who are just as apt to finding ways to be less productive in the confines of their office spaces. Many companies saw the potential for remote work as an opportunity to expand their reach and access to talent that may be beyond their geographic location. So the return-to-work approach may be a regression to the past limitations and may lose connection to valuable workers who are unable to relocate. Would it be fair to require workers closer to the office to work full weeks in the office and other workers to remain remote or hybrid? In some circumstances, it may be. I do think that hybrid schedules are generally a reasonable accommodation. The real issue some find with remote work environments is that they do not have management well-versed in managing a team that is not in front of them. But also, many workers are unable to manage distractions or temptations that may exist with remote work. How many people take a moment to run errands because waiting until after hours will be too burdensome? Of course, this may be in addition to their lunch break. Keep in mind that you are still entitled to a lunch break in a remote environment, which is something many people work through. I think there will be some movement back towards the in-office environment. Hopefully, companies will be balanced and flexible. Returning to the old ways of doing things may make sense, but I do not think we should abandon what people like simply because others do not want to evolve. Hold people accountable, set deadlines and expectations, and measure performance, something that should exist in person, remote, or in hybrid environments.